I'd ask you to turn with me and find your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 103. We had just sang through Psalm 103, and the first part of that psalm is our psalm of the month. We'll be singing it each week, Lord willing, as we begin our worship services for the month of June. And as you know, we always have a message on the psalm of the month. And so this morning, I'd like to read the first few verses of Psalm 103. We will be looking at the whole psalm briefly, but mainly focusing on the first five verses. So I'd like to read those verses in your hearing this morning. This is the word of our great God and King. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We'll end our reading at that point because that will be the focus of our message this morning. Some of you will know the story of John Bunyan. We know him today primarily as the author of Pilgrim's Progress. His ministry was much more vast than that. John Bunyan had many experiences before he came to faith in Christ of where he recognized that God had showed him mercies. Even many cases where he should have probably died. But as he was recording these events, after each one of them, he listed them, and I just one of them, but he talked about the mercy of God, and then he said, but I soon forgot. And in his book, Grace Abounded, the Chief of Sinners, he says this, though I have brought myself into many dangers, he has not left me or forsaken me. But I must say I have been forgetful of many deliverances, and have let them slip out of my mind. The passage tells us here in Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So this morning we're going to look at this idea of the benefits of God, the benefits that are listed here. But we have to catch a couple of things about this psalm first. So we're going to look this morning at the idea that remembering God's benefits calls the Christian to speak and think well of him. As we recall his benefits, it causes us to speak and to think well of him. George Mueller once said that he never grew tired of speaking well of God. And Matthew Henry said this, be not afraid of saying too much in the praise of God. All the danger is of saying too little. My friends, are you speaking well of God? Are you thinking well of God? As we think of all of his benefits, it indeed calls us to speak and think well of him. Now, we're going to have in a few minutes here to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. The visible ways that God calls us to remember him. But the text before us tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so before we look at these benefits, we need to understand that this idea of blessing God is part of our calling. You are to remember your calling. This is our calling. We see that from 1 Peter chapter 2, which we just read. For you are a royal priest, for you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and believe that God raised him from the dead and are trusting him and trusting him alone for your salvation, then you are part of this royal priesthood, this holy nation. And your purpose, according to 1 Peter 2, is to proclaim his excellencies, to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into your marvelous light. Now, the word that's used here for bless, it's almost always translated bless in the Hebrew scriptures. It sometimes carries the idea of salute. The Septuagint, which, as you know, is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures and would have been the version of the Hebrew scriptures that the Apostle Paul and others would have been working out of. It uses the word eulogeo. And we take that word into the English language and we get the word eulogy. And it means to speak well of. So this idea of bless is to speak well, to salute, to speak well of God, to think well of God. So are you thinking well of God? When's the last time that you actually set aside a few moments and to think of the blessings of God? Psalm 104 tells us, "My thoughts about him will sweet pleasure afford, for I am rejoicing each day in the Lord." I want to say to you, my friends, there is pleasantness in thinking about the Lord. There is joy in forgetting none of his benefits. We had our prayer chain this past week and on Friday and into Saturday morning. And Saturday morning I was kind of thinking and meditating and praying through some of the desires of the Apostle Paul. And one of his desires is given to us in Romans 15 verses 5 and 6. "Now the God who gives grace and perseverance grant you..." Hang on a minute. I forgot it. I'll have to look it up. Yeah, I suppose we have a right to forget verses every once in a while. It says, verses 5 and 6. "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ." See, part of our calling, part of who we are, is we're to, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's an interesting passage that we have before us because David is going back and forth from the singular. Obviously, the first two verses, especially verse 1, his inner being, all that's within him is to bless, to think well, to salute, to speak well of God. But then in verse 3, he goes and gives some of these benefits. Well, we'll look at it in a minute. But he goes back and forth from the singular and the plural. So it says that he forgives all your iniquities. That's singular. He heals all your diseases. That's a plural you. Your life, again, is plural. He crowns you. That's singular. So there's a corporate aspect to our thinking and speaking well of God. With one voice, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's one other thing that I think you need to understand before we look at these benefits, and that is that you must understand and remember the contrast. There's a contrast that God paints here between himself and his people. So if you have your Bibles open to Psalm 103, let me just ask you to look at verse 6 and 7. He's righteous and just. Speaking about who God is. He is righteous and just. In verse 8, he's merciful and gracious. Verse 17, it talks about him being loving. And talks about him being righteous. Verse 19 talks about him, his sovereignty. God has established his throne in the heavens. And his sovereignty rules over all. So you see this greatness of God. One of the charges that God had against his people in the Old Testament was that you thought that I, speaking of himself, you thought that God was just like you. And we tend to think that. We tend to think that God is just like us, only a little more loving, a little more holy, a little more kind, a little more powerful. And God says, you thought I was just like you. He's so much more in all these things. His wisdom, His kindness, His righteousness, His justice, His sovereignty. So much more than what you think about yourself. So we have to recognize the greatness of God. But then notice the contrast. It's given to us in verses 14 through 16. He talks about people. As he's talking about God's greatness, verse 14, for He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. This great God has mercy towards dust, towards the flowers of the field that are here today and gone tomorrow. We had some friends over at our house this past week, and several young children were there. We were all sitting in our backyard, and our friends said to me, "Hey, your backyard looks like the fairways on Augusta National Golf Course." I thought, maybe I've not been to Augusta, but anyhow. And I also thought, yeah, well, come in December or November, and you'll see it's all brown. The grass that's here today, the flowers that are here today and look beautiful, they're not going to last. And this great, majestic God cares for you and me, even though we're here for just a little while and vanishes away. So we need to understand the greatness of God. We need to understand who we are. We need to understand our calling, that we have been called to bless, to speak well of this great God, even though we're just dust, even though we're like the flowers that are here tomorrow and vanish away. Here in a little while, we'll sing Psalm 8, and I trust you're familiar with Psalm 8. It's the psalmist calls an attention to the stars and the moon, His greatness, His majesty. What is man that you are mindful of Him, or the Son of Man that you care for Him? This great God who made the stars and the moon cares for people. He understands that you're but dust, but He still cares for you through Jesus Christ. So again, if you have your Bibles open, bless the Lord, O my soul. Everything from the inside is to bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. And then beginning with verse 3, he begins to list these benefits. And so we're going to look at these benefits here for a few minutes. Forget not all His benefits. The first one is given to us in verse 3. God forgives. God forgives. He forgives all your iniquities. Not some, not the little ones, but all of them. You see, if you're in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Because the penalty of your rebellion against God was paid by Jesus Christ. And so we can recognize that God forgives all of our sins. I have a little handout I give to people who have just come to faith in Christ. It's some of the pictures that God has of what He's done for our sins. If you look at our passage, if you look at verse 12, it talks about that God has removed our sins as far as east are from west. East and west never come together. God removed them. And some of the others are that He's cast them behind our back. It talks about that He's trampled them underfoot. He forgets them. He's cast them behind your back. If you're in Jesus Christ, your sins are not before God. They're cast behind His back. They're cast into the depths of the sea. We can stop there. That alone should be cause for you to think and speak well of God, because in Jesus Christ, sins are forgiven. And the Bible makes it very clear, Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 tells us that the result of your sin, the result of my sin, is death, eternal separation from God. All of that has been taken away. The Bible also tells us that God wipes away our sin like a thick cloud. Many years ago, we were in Maine, and we went up to Cadillac Mountain, the highest point of the eastern seaboard. And supposedly there's a great view of all the rocky coast of Maine. We saw it because we went into the bookstore and looked at the postcards we could buy. We came back out into the parking lot, and there was a thick cloud. We could not see more than 10 yards in front of us. That's what God has done to your sin in Jesus Christ. Speak well of him, because he thought enough of you to send his son Jesus to die for all who put their faith and trust in him. He forgives. The next one is that he heals all your diseases. Now, we can't take this, of course, as a universal promise. If we believe that this was everybody is healed, then there would never be a death. There would never be a Christian who would ever die. We don't believe that, but we believe it's a testimony of God's faithfulness to his people. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. And then listen to Exodus chapter 15. God says, I will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer. You see, God is the one that heals his people. We believe that if you mean to love life and see good days, that you will keep your tongue from evil, and you will seek to serve God. God heals all our diseases. The fourth picture that we have here is in verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit. Now, the idea of the pit would carry the idea of the grave, places of danger, could carry the idea of hell. And God is the one that redeems us. The Hebrew word could mean the idea of ransom. Ransom is the idea of you pay a price to get something back. And of course, we know that God paid a price to get something back. It also carries the idea, the Hebrew word, of the idea of a kinsman redeemer. And a kinsman redeemer, known to us most clearly in the book of Ruth, is that if a husband dies, the husband's brother is to care for his brother's widow, actually to marry her and to take her land and her property and care for them so that the name of the deceased will not be forgotten in the land of Israel. And so this idea of redeem that we have here in God is the idea that God brings us into his family. He redeems us from the pit. He redeems us from the grave. He redeems us from hell. Yesterday, our son-in-law gave a eulogy for his nephew who died at 3 months old. And one of the things that our son-in-law said was that Tristan was not created for 3 months. Tristan was created for eternity. My friends, again, if you are in Jesus Christ, you're not created for 70 or 80 or 90 years. You're recreated for all of eternity, because God is the one that has redeemed you through Jesus Christ. The next one that we have here is it tells us that he crowns us. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Now, as far as I can remember, the only time I've ever worn a crown, I've never been crowned Mr. America or Miss America. The only time I ever remember wearing a crown is that when our kids were little, we were traveling and we stopped at Burger King. And at that time, I don't know if it's still true, they gave away little cardboard crowns to children. And so my children got one. They had me wear it for a little while as I was driving down the road. But crowning somebody is the idea of honor. And you crown some, the people with crowns are people who live in palaces. And this is what God has done. He has honored us with steadfast love and mercy. Now you'll remember that in Psalm 23 we find a similar word. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I told our youth about a woman that verse terrified her as a young child because she thought that there was somebody named Shirley, S-H-I-R-L-E-Y, somebody named Shirley Goodness and her friend Mercy that was following her and watching everything that she did. She was terrified by the verse. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The Hebrew word follow can mean chase after. Goodness and mercy are going to chase after God's people all their lives because he crowns you with loving kindness, with steadfast love and mercy. The next one is that he satisfies you with good. Now, the ESV here is trying to simplify a difficult Hebrew phrase. It's actually leaving out a word in the Hebrew text. The word that he satisfies you with, this Hebrew word, with good. Now, the Hebrew word means ornament. So you know that in Exodus chapter 3, I believe it is. It's not the right chapter. Let's see if I got it written down here. Exodus 33, verses 5 and 6. It talks about the people taking off their ornaments as they marched through the wilderness. They took off their ornaments. The word is also used for the trappings of a horse. Now, young people, you know that if we talk about the trappings of the horse, we'll talk about the bit and the bridle, the saddle. That's the word that he satisfies your trappings. He satisfies your ornaments with good. The things that are evident about our life, the trappings of a horse are what's evident about a horse. Those things that are evident of your life, their goodness because of Jesus Christ. He satisfies you with good things. He satisfies your years, some translations say. He satisfies your years with good things. Other translations say he satisfies your mouth with good things. I don't have to tell you, if you are in Jesus Christ, I don't have to tell you that Jesus satisfies. And when Jesus satisfies, he satisfies completely. He satisfies your ornaments. He satisfies your life with good things. That's what God does with us. In Acts chapter 3, it talks about times of refreshing coming to God's people. That's what the Lord Jesus does. He brings times of refreshing to his people. He satisfies your ornaments. He satisfies your life with good. And then the last one is that he redeems. He redeems. He renews so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. There was the idea seems to be that eagles would somehow molt and they would grow new wings. It was apparently what was believed in ancient times. And so because of that, the eagle could live a long life and still be vibrant and strong. And eagles did live long compared to other birds. But the idea is that they would be strong and revived and vibrant, even though they, partly because it seems that they believed that they would molt and gain new wings, new feathers. That would allow them to soar. And so he satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed. And you know that Isaiah chapter 40 uses the same terminology. And it says that those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get tired. They shall walk and not grow weary. Are you weary of the Christian life? It's easy, isn't it? To become weary. But if you are, I want to encourage you to refocus your eyes on the Lord God, to refocus your eyes and your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to recognize all the benefits that he has for his people. All the benefits. Let me just review them. He forgives. He heals. He redeems. He crowns. He satisfies. He renews. That's what God wants to do for you in Jesus Christ. Are you experiencing those things in your life, my friends? There was a missionary by the name of Robert Kennedy. No, not the famous Robert Kennedy that we all know, not the famous American family. But a missionary by the name of Robert Kennedy was an American missionary in South America. And one time he was traveling on the Amazon and came across somebody and was told that he was a new believer. The language was difficult because he didn't speak their language. And he asked him what he'd like to do. And the man responded to Kennedy that he liked being occupied with God. And Kenny thought that's kind of strange because he was expecting, well, I like farming, or I like walks in the jungle, or I like watching birds, or I like canoeing. So he thought the guy made a wrong statement. He didn't translate it properly. So he asked again. And the guy gave the same answer. The thing they most enjoyed doing was being occupied with God. My friends, is that true of you? My thoughts about him will sweep pleasure forth, because I'm rejoicing each day in the Lord. Is the thing that you like to do more than anything else is to be occupied with God? You see, we're to forget none of his benefits. From our innermost being, we are to speak and think well of him. My friends, are you thinking well of God? Are you speaking well of Jesus Christ? Are you thinking well of Jesus Christ? You know, in Psalm 27, David pictures himself surrounded by an army. And in that midst, you would think he would, you know, want to make sure that the city walls are strong, that the army's prepared. But he says, one thing I've asked of the Lord, in verse 4, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I shall do, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. How are you experiencing the beauty of the Lord? Part of his benefits are that he forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns, he satisfies, he renews. There was a movie a few years ago called Grumpy Old Men. I never saw it. But I don't believe in the kingdom of God there's such a thing as a grumpy old man. Except for maybe me. But you know, when you're a pastor in your 70s, you have a right to be grumpy, right? God renews. God forgives. God heals, God crowns, God redeems. My friends, all these benefits are made known to you in Jesus Christ, because he's abounding in riches for all who call upon him. Will you call upon him? Will you speak well of him? Will you think well of him? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you for the benefits that you give to your people. And God, may we rejoice in these benefits so that we will learn to think and speak well of you on a regular basis. Thank you that you forgive, that you heal all our diseases, that you redeem from the pit, that you crown with steadfast love and mercy, that you satisfy, and that you renew us. Thank you, God. I pray that these benefits would become very real and precious to us in this coming week. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.